In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We've gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as the saints bow down, as the people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. Morning turns to songs of praise. Our God saves. Our God saves. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We've gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. Morning turns to songs of praise. Our God saves. Our God saves.
Good news. Good news. Oh, Randy, they look dead. Maybe I need to get higher. Good news. Good news. No, I'm going to get higher. You.
I have no clue.
Good news. Oh, I can't leave that. I can't leave that side out. Hi, y'all. How you doing this morning? Good news. Nobody's going to ask why? Because Jude tells us, look at this. To him would be Jesus, who is able to keep you from stumbling, look at this, and present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy. Folks, that is something to rejoice about this morning. Father, thank you for your word. May we rejoice in that this morning, and we praise you. In your name, amen.
When the pastor says, be patient, I'm going to do something. You just sit back. We're going to be in the little book on this morning, page 12. Page 12.
I have a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land, I am on my way to those mansions there. Just over in the glory land, there to sing God's praise and his glory. the blood washed strong, I will shout and sing just over in the glory land. Glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there will be the mighty host of sin. Just over in the glory land.
Turn now to page 151. 151.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to this earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing knee, I find my rest. 'Cause without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. My song to rise to you. Oh, when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. 'Cause Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. 'Cause Lord, I need you. Oh, Father, we thank you for all that you've blessed us with, and you alone are worthy of all that we are. So many times we can get focused on the things that are going on down here, and the fears, the worries, and there's a lot going on in our lives and in our world, but we must understand that as out of control as the world seems, you are still in control. As out of control as our situations and our circumstances seem, you are in control. We must refocus our eyes off of the here and the now to the one who we need in our lives. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. Would I become less reliant upon myself and more reliant upon you? that I might experience your peace, your joy, and your freedom in the circumstance that you have either preordained or allowed into my life, that I might learn to trust you, that I might learn to change into the image of Jesus Christ, that I might be used to further your gospel so that a lost and dying world can see you through me, not because of what I do, but because of the amazing salvation we have in you. Father, as we open up your word, would we come with soft hearts, open minds, and a willing spirit to hear what you would have us say this morning. In your name we can ask this. Amen.
There are three things missing in the Church of Jesus Christ in America today. One is a true understanding of who Jesus really is. We have had this Christianity for so many years, and some of us here have walked in it for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. It gets old if we're not careful. And I need to understand who Jesus really is, what he has done. Imagine laying aside the privileges of heaven, taking on the limitations of flesh. It's amazing. We need to understand the scripture that God has given us, return back to that, and let that be the dominant thing that makes the decisions in our lives. But folks, the third thing is we've lost the excitement of salvation. One of the things I love to do when somebody accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I will ask them how they feel. And to the every single one, man, I feel great. I feel clean. I don't know how to describe it, Randy. And I'm very quick to say, great. Remember that, because tomorrow you probably won't. Because we do not trust our feeler. We trust the Word of God, which says that those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We need to rekindle that amazement of what God has done in our lives. David was a young man, maybe 16, wasn't even supposed to be on the battlefield, went to take some cheese and wine for his brothers and so forth. And here's this Goliath guy, a Philistine, that is anywhere from 9 to 13 feet tall, depends on how you interpret cubit. And He's got this huge javelin, and he's got this huge spear, and he's got this huge coat of armor on, and he's defying the army of Israel, and he's going out there going, hey, just send your best guy. That's all I'm asking you to do. Send your best guy. There's no sense all these men die. Send your best guy out here, and we'll fight. Whoever wins, we win the war. And God's mighty army are cowering in their tents. David was there one of that day. He did this morning and afternoon. David said, hey, who's the big guy? What's he doing? Well, he comes out every day and he does this. He goes, what, nobody's going to have to fight him yet? And these brothers get all over him. Oh, look at him. He's all, yeah, you know how brothers are. David goes, I'll do it. And they tried to dress him like a warrior. But he couldn't walk around. The stuff was too big for him. So here's this 16-year-old, more or less, young man going out, and all he has is a sling and 5 smooth stones to fight this Goliath guy. While they're out there in 1 Samuel 17:45, David said to Philistine, you come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He's saying, Goliath, you're underprepared. You don't have enough to fight the armies of God, which infuriated him. In the name of the Lord Almighty means enclosed as in a tower, call the name of the Lord. He said, you're coming at me against a sword and a spear and a javelin and all that kind of stuff. I'm standing in the tower of God. You can't get past me. David is saying, all that God is surrounds me, protects me, empowers me, secures me. All you have is a sword and a spear and a javelin. That's all you got. Would you settle for a sword and spear and javelin when you could have had the tower of the Lord around you? As a born-again child of God, that's what we have. But we keep running out of the tower looking for things that man has to protect ourselves or to keep our salvation or whatever. God and God alone allowed David to stand before Goliath that day using a simple sling stone, and he brought victory. Victory. The word for the day I want you to have in your mind, if you don't know it already, is be amazed. Just amazed. That word mazed means greatly surprised, astonished, awestruck, bowled over, dumbfounded, flabbergasted, shocked, stunned, stupefied, thunderstruck. There, if you're an AC/DC fan, you know what that word means now. Amazement would have been common in the lives of the disciples of Jesus. Every day, I just get this sense they're going, whoa, just amazement. Hearing Jesus' words, how could he say that to these Pharisees? Whoa, I don't even know what he meant by that, but it sounds deep. How could he cure this? Look at the demons even go away from him. Look, Lazarus came out of the tomb. He should be stinking by now. I mean, all of the life of Jesus was an amazement to them. So when was the last time, if ever, you've been amazed by Jesus? When was the last time that you've allowed yourself, we keep ourselves so tight. We keep our emotions tight. We don't want anybody to know how vulnerable we are at times. We don't want anybody to know we're hurting. We don't want anybody to know how weak we really are. We keep them tight. And God wants to do amazing things in your life if you'll just open your arms and allow him to do that. We have his word, same as the disciples. We know his heart. And we've read of his miracles, and we have the imprint of him in our lives through the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you've been amazed? John Piper, was a pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis for 33 years. One of his last sermons was on this topic. As he sat back and he looked at his life, he said, "The word that came to me is amazement. The older I get, the more I'm amazed and full of wonder and thankfulness that I am still a Christian. That I still love the word of the Lord. That I still love the ministry of the word and the church of Christ. That I still have not unfit myself for eldership and have still not given myself over to pornography and adultery. And that after 43 years, I love my wife with the love of Christ. These things are to me utterly amazing. Utterly amazing. If my faith in Jesus and my eagerness to know him and his word and my thrill at preaching and my love for the church and my fitness for ministry and my fitness for heaven and my sexual continence and my spiritual marriage commitment to Noel depended decisively on me," hear him say, "if that all depended on me, I would have ceased to be a Christian long ago, ceased to care about the word of God or thrill of exposition, given up on the church, ceased to be fit for the ministry of heaven, given myself to sexual indulgence, and ceased to be married to Noel. I have no doubt about this at all." Hear what he says. "If it was up to me and me alone, I couldn't have done this. It's not me. And it's not me who will get me in heaven." "Well, Randy, I've got to keep a hold of it so I don't lose it." It's up to me. It ain't going to happen, folks. It's up to you. It won't as well. The verses today are one that are rock solid in my life. Ones that I was struggling like a lot of. Man, do we have to keep our salvation? How do we know for sure what's going to happen there? And here's where he led me. Rock solid truth about who we are in Christ Jesus and what he's going to do to him for us. Jude 24 and 25. "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault." That should amaze you. You don't look very amazed. You're thinking of your faults, aren't you? And you're wondering, I don't see how he can do that. Well, folks, it's his glory, power, and majesty that allows that to be happening. You'll find it in the last part of it. But not only that, he's going to present us faultless with great joy. Woo! Not just barely. Not look down and go, oh man, do we got to let him in? Let's put him back there with, you know. How? To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forever. And the only way Jude could leave it was, amen. Let's pray. Father, the only way we can be filled with a sense of amazement this morning is if you stir that spirit up within us. If you don't stir the spirit up and we get amazed, it is just emotional, and soon as we leave this door, it'll be gone. So now I pray that you get us rock solid on this. Who we are in Christ Jesus, what Christ Jesus is going to do, that you will get us rock solid on this so nobody can come and diminish the Lord Jesus in our mind. Nothing can we do that would diminish who we are in your sight. That, Father, we live to glorify you. Now, Lord, I pray that you do that to each individual here. And I thank you for what you're going to say in your name. Amen. Remember, Jude is like the apostates before the resurrection of Jesus. He knows their mind. He knows what they're doing. He was a half-brother of Jesus. They wanted nothing to do with his ministry. They did not even believe what he was doing. Mark 3, 20 through 21. Then Jesus entered the house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. That's Jude. Jude went to capture Jesus and take him home so he would quit embarrassing the family. Now, after the fact, he has seen the risen Lord. After the fact, can you hear Jude thinking, I was trying to define Jesus just like they are. I was doing that so that I could understand, so he would quit embarrassing me. I think Jude is utterly amazed where he finds himself, defending the gospel of Jesus Christ for those who desire to distort it and define Jesus downward so we can understand him a little better. Then Jude thinks about the true believers in the world, struggling with life, trying to please Jesus. Struggling. They've got persecution. They've got condemning their lands and properties and killing thousands of Christians. And he's thinking about that going, what can I tell them? What can I tell them, God, that would encourage them? Then the Holy Spirit takes over his quill and delivers for them and us amazing statements of truth in just two verses. Jude identifies the only reason we can be secure in our salvation. The only reason. Verse 24 in NIV, to him who is able, that's kind of wishy-washy, amplified, now to him who is able. The Greek says, to him now being able. In the Greek, it's more like, this is going to happen, guys. Not because of you, but because of him. He is able to do what I'm about ready to tell you. Because he's got the power, the glory, and the majesty, and the authority. It's him. Jude identifies the him in verse 25 to the only God, our Savior, through the work of Jesus Christ our Lord. He's speaking of Jesus. It is not me or you that keeps us secure in the hand of Jesus. Jesus has a hold of us. Got to get that deep in your soul. Got to get it deep. He is the one who will present us faultless. Not he plus me. He plus my works. That makes it dirty. I've seen my works. He will present me faultless. What Jude is about to tell us is only possible because Jesus and his work and what he's done in our lives. Done in our lives. The apostates were attempting to bring Jesus down to their level so they might be able to understand him. And Jude just lifts him up. lifts up Jesus, where all we can do is be amazed at who he is and what he is actively doing in our lives throughout eternity. You do not have to be afraid of death, Christian, true believers. You do not have to be afraid of this life, because what is coming is massive compared to that. Now to him. All that the apostates have said about Jesus and their understanding of him, turn your eyes on Jesus. His majesty, his glory, his authority. And let me tell you what he is presently doing for all of those true believers. Jude is saying, let me tell you. Let me tell you what he's doing and what he will do. You want to be amazed? Then try to grasp the glory of what Jesus is doing in your life. Randy, I don't see him. Then you don't have your spiritual eyes on. It's so hard. Life is hard down here. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And we put a period there. When there is no period, but the Lord delivers them from them all. What's he doing in your life that is truly amazing? Jesus is the one who keeps you from fatally stumbling away from him. It's not you. If it was just left up to you and your strength, you would have walked away from Christ years ago. You wouldn't have the strength to hang on. Jesus is the one who keeps you from fatally stumbling. To him who now is able, that's a stronger, to keep, to guard and protect you from stumbling, falling away, finally and fatally. Read that again. He's the one who keeps you from falling away, finally and fatally. The Greek word means to guard you so that you are exempt from fatally and finally stumbling away. As true believers, you're exempt from ever being able to do that. Oh, you need much happier faces. Much happier faces, because it's not going to happen. You're not going to fatally, finally fall away from the Lord Jesus Christ. James, though, the confusion is, James says we all stumble in many ways. That we understand. We understand that. Some of you are thinking back this week. Yeah, man, I didn't do it again or any kind of thing. But as true believers, can we sin so much, sin so deep, so hurting to God, that he will turn his back and forsake us? That's what Jesus is asking. Can you do that? And if the answer is yes, woe is us, because we can't keep it. Cannot keep it. John Piper said once again, if the decisive cause for my faithfulness to Christ in any of these expressions must come for me, it will not come because it is not there. As he was penning that, he was utterly amazed. Utterly amazed. If it were totally left to me, the answer would be a corrupt life, rejecting everything of God, being eternally separated from him and all that I cherish. If it was up to us, that's what would happen. Now, I know some of you are thinking, No, that's not me, Randy. I am strong enough. I am dedicated enough. And I'm telling you that if Jesus took his hands off of you, then how fatally that would be. He has his hands around you. But praise be to God, it is not up to us. It is up to Jesus. Do better than that. I heard the pastor's wife, do better than that. Amen. She doesn't count right now. God has the power, authority, and majesty to keep us upright in him. You mean, Randy, I can't go so far that he would reject me? No. What if I do this? No. What if I do that? No. What happens if I... If you get so far, he's going to bring you home, and you're going to be there too early. John chapter 10, 27 through 30. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. In other words, they hear my voice out of the chaos. The sheep pens back there, they would bring them in at night, and there would be 5 to 10 different flocks of sheep there. So 5 to 10 different shepherds. All the sheep are mingling in this one area. And the shepherd, when he was ready, he would come out and he would make some sound. And only his sheep, he would look. He would make the sound and he would just start walking, knowing that his sheep heard his sound and they would all come out and just his. That's what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice out of the chaos. I know them personally. And they know and follow me. I give them, past tense, extending forward throughout eternity. I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. Oh, and by the way, I and the Father are one. No one can snatch them. Jesus is the one who keeps you from stumbling. Knowing this, how can you not strive to live a life that glorifies your Heavenly Father? How can you live with overt sin in your life? Yes, we all have sin. And yes, we're all struggling with certain areas. But how can you just keep it there and not attempt to do and change and allow the Spirit to change who you are? How could you do that? Knowing what Jesus is going to do to you, how can you take his work in your life for granted? You know how that feels. How could you do that to him? Matthew 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's the life we must live. Jesus is the one who keeps us from fatally stumbling away from me. But he goes on. This is just amazing, guys. Jesus will present you faultless before a holy, righteous, just God. Now, you know you. I know me. And faultless is not a term that would be used to us. It's not us. We are worthy of eternal separation from God Almighty. We are worthy of everything that Satan can throw at us. We are worthy of the wrath of God. But look, we are going to be presented in front of God Almighty faultless. I want you to remember, we're all going to stand before a holy, righteous, just God and give an account for our lives. Each and every one of us, saved or not saved. Romans 14, verse 12, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Whew, that would scare me spitless. I was looking for an adjective that I could say. We must remember that one of the attributes of God is omniscience, the state of knowing everything. He knows everything about you. Matthew 12, 36, but I tell you that everyone will give an account on the day of the judgment for every empty, it's careless, or worthless word they have spoken. This would and should scare the sin right out of us, but it doesn't. Because we're children of the moment. Rarely do we look that far ahead. So there is a time we will stand before the Father. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what we'll have to admit to or anything. Paul says, when I try to do good, I don't. When I want to do good, I don't. Romans 7, 24, wretched and miserable man that I am, who will rescue me and set me free from this body of death, this corrupt moral existence? Thanks be to God for my deliverance through Jesus Christ my Lord. Paul, a great man of faith, says, I can't. Who will deliver me from this? I want to do good, but in and of myself, I keep doing wrong. Praise be to God. Because my deliverance is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because of Christ, we will be presented faultless before this holy, righteous, just God. Be amazed. We're going to stand before Him and presented faultless, not sinless. We are worthy of judgment, worthy of condemnation, worthy of guilt. We are presented faultless. In other words, we are seen or accepted as perfect, impeccable, irreproachable, innocent, blameless, blemished, but right and sinless and spotless in the eyes and judgment of God Almighty. That's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to present us faultless. How? Well, in Leviticus, as you go into the law explains and illustrates what Jesus is, what's going to happen to Jesus, what he does. On the Day of Atonement, there was the sacrifice of the bulls for the temple and for the high priest. But there was also two goats that were brought into this. Leviticus 16. Then he, that would be the high priest, there's two goats, take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meetings. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat which falls to the Lord and sacrifice it as a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as a scapegoat will be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement and by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. Down in verse 20 and 22. When Aaron had finished making atonement for the holy place, look what he does, verse 21. They brought the live goat forward. He laid both hands on the head of the live goat and confessed over it all of its sins and rebellion and all of their sins and put them on the goat's head. It was that the debt was transferred. Then he'll take the goat away into the wilderness in the care of somebody appointed to the task. The goat will carry on itself all its sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it in the wilderness. Look at this. Two goats. One is the actual sacrifice for the sins. The other one carries the sins away. How's that apply to us today? Because 1 Peter 2:24, he tells us, speaking of Jesus, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we may die to sin, becoming immune for the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you who believe have been healed. Have been healed. The result of that is that Jesus was our sin substitute on the cross, and our sin debt was laid upon him. Two goats. We are allowed, as born-again children of God, to walk free because it has been paid for by Jesus. The result is not standing sinless before God, but faultless. That should be amazing to you. Faultless. Infomercial Ron Pompelli died this week, and his famous expression was, "But there's more." The Jinsu knives, that there's more. Let me tell you what else there is. And right here, there's more. Our presentation before God will be accompanied with great joy. Woo! Not just barely getting in. We are faultless before the Lord with great joy. Verse 24, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before the glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Now, I can understand because of the cross of Jesus without fault. I have a little trouble with great joy. Because I know me. You know yourselves. The Amplified Version says, with triumphant joy and unspeakable delight. You're standing before a holy, righteous, just God, blameless. And the only thing that's going on before that throne is triumphant joy and unspeakable delight. Well, Randy, I did this. You're faultless. Well, Randy, this happened. And you're faultless. And there is great joy in the heavens when you are presented, both because of you, but I have a sneaking suspicion that Jesus is going to be filled with joy because of what has accomplished in your life. There's a trainer coach from Australia this year, on the Olympics. You might have seen this. He was excited when his Olympic star won gold medal. Folks, that is excitement. He didn't swim. Folks, that was triumphant joy for his student winning Olympic gold. Did you notice how full of joy and excitement he had? And the joy of that feat will eventually fade. Not be forgotten, but it will fade over time. But can you imagine the unspeakable joy when we are presented faultless before God? Our eternity sealed. Or our joy swelling in our hearts and minds for an eternity never failing. There will nothing in eternity take away the joy of what Jesus has done in our lives and being found faultless. For an eternity, we will be filled with joy. And whoever in the heavens would look at us, that's one of Jesus's. They're here because of Jesus. They're here because of their faith in the finished work of Jesus. My, how marvelous, not me, my, how marvelous Jesus is. Jesus is. This triumphant joy ultimately belongs to Jesus, not us. But Randy, I've lived a pretty good life. You are worthy of God's wrath. So put that out of your mind. Well, I'm not as bad as you. God does not grade on a curve. If he's great on a curve, you might be able to say that. It's Jesus. It's the Spirit that saves you. The Spirit that drew you to the cross. The Spirit that allows you to, and gives you the faith to believe. It is the Spirit who seals you as a down payment under the day of redemption. It is the Spirit that will raise you up from the dead. It is the Spirit that will give you that glorified body. It is the Spirit that will walk with you through an eternity remembering what God has done. After being presented faultless, I can imagine heaven's host rejoicing with us because of Jesus. I find this in Revelations 19, 6 and 7. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of a rushing waters and the loud peals of thunder shouting. He did pretty good. Yeah, he did pretty good. Is that what it says? Hallelujah! You guys are dead. How can you sit there and not be amazed and rejoice in what God has done in your life? Hallelujah, for the Lord our God reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Who's that? Good. Isaiah wasn't here to do that, so you've taken Isaiah's place. We must allow the joy of the Lord to fill our lives regardless of the circumstances. We must allow the joy of the Lord, of knowing the Lord, knowing our sins are forgiven, knowing our eternity is sealed, because we're going to be presented faultless, and when we stand there, there will be joy, unspeakable and full of glory. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, what a day that will be. Why wait until then? Why wait until then? We can begin to experience this joy now as we look forward to that day. As we look forward to what he's going to teach you about himself and his word and through the experience of walking this life with him. Begin today. Heaven begins when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and it just gets better throughout the life. Not weariness, not hopelessness, not worry, but confident expectations, because Jesus does it all. We simply yield to him, which is extremely difficult, and allow him to do his amazing work in our lives throughout eternity. Paul experienced many hardships. When he was saved, Jesus told him, I'm going to show you all that you're going to have to experience, the hardships. Beaten and rejected and shipwrecked and whipped and stoned several times, simply because he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus. In his older age, in a jail cell, he said, I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The sufferings we're going through right now, when we look back, you won't even be able to compare them to the glory. All because we will be presented faultless before a holy, righteous, just God with great joy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. How amazing it is. And as we look back at our lives, the only reason we can be here today is because of you. The only reason we have to rejoice is you. The only reason that I have hope is you. Lord, teach us to rejoice. Teach us to let loose of our emotions and just rejoice in what you are doing and what you have promised to us. May we make the choice to start that today. Lord, I do pray that if somebody is here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that your Spirit will be upon them in such a fashion that they will know beyond a doubt they need to get that taken care of, and it needs to be taken care of today for the most of us here. Will you just renew us? Give us a sense of excitement, a sense of amazement, and may we live this life out of that amazement. And we thank you for your glory alone. Amen. Stand, please, and we'll sing.
309.
309 in the big book. 309 in the big book. Altars are open. Come and come quickly as we sing.
Well, I've wandered far.